We've been on the subject of remedies for discouragement out of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet, He'll be the health of my countenance and my God. We covered a lot of ground on the different things that are remedies. And we talked a lot about the attributes of God. I think one of the best things you can do is hope in God. You got to know Him. You got to know who He is, what He's like. And the attributes of God we've covered. His faithfulness, His immutability, His sovereignty, His omnipotence. All those things are great encouragements. We are being protected by God Almighty. So when you get discouraged, get your mind off whatever it is that's bringing you down and get it on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. But there are other remedies for discouragement. And I know I talk about these things a lot because I think about them a lot. I believe all the accounts of Scripture. I believe the miracles that God has done on behalf of His people. And I take great comfort from that. I get encouraged every time I think of the deliverance at the Red Sea. Sermons start running together with me. I preached 12 times, 13 times if you count the Mountain Missions Conference, in about 7 days, and then came back, preached here on Sunday on The Lord Reigneth. And a lot of things are running through my mind. And I'm sure that on Sunday, I referenced the deliverance at the Red Sea. So I'm not going to go into that. I've been fascinated by it. To think that God would roll back the waters of the Red Sea and allow the children of Israel to go across and then destroy all their enemies in judgment. That is a great deliverance. There's going to be times in your life people are going to be against you. They're going to want to ensnare you. They're going to want to discourage you. Remember, God delivered an entire nation when He enabled them to get across the Red Sea, when He parted those waters. And then I always draw encouragement every time I read the book of Daniel. Two miraculous accounts. The three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think that's a proper pronunciation. And they wouldn't bow to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and he heated the fiery furnace up, told them that if they didn't recant and bow down, they were going to go into the fiery furnace. I derive encouragement from what they said. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quote it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Isn't that amazing? The courage, the fortitude, the spiritual grace and power to resist the temptation just to go along to get along. But they not only said, we're not going to do it, we're not careful even to answer you. We're going to serve God whether we burn up or not. Nebuchadnezzar, in great fury, had him cast into that fiery furnace. And when he looked down in there, he saw four men. One of them was the Lord Jesus Christ, a theophanies. Dear saint of God, next time you encounter the fiery furnace of affliction, remember that the Son of God is there to accompany you. He'll be your deliverer and the lifter up of your head. I wonder, as the time proceeds and the preparation is going on for the unveiling of Antichrist, there's a lot of things that are crazy that are going on in our world today. And I saw this little video of somebody implanting a chip, a microchip in somebody's hand, and they were all excited about it because everything was digital. They were able to go to the grocery store, put their hand on the screen, and pay for it. They were able to get into their apartment building without a key. All they had to do was scan their hand. And this lady was, isn't this amazing? I don't think it's amazing. I think it's setting up for the people receiving the mark of the beast. I wonder, as things get hotter and hotter, and they're going to get hotter and hotter, are we going to stand like the three Hebrews and say, we're not going along with this world system. We're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to serve Him. We're going to honor Him. We're not going to cast our lot with this world that's contrary to God. No matter what it costs us. And then it brings me to my next one. I know I say these a lot. You know the next one that's coming out of Daniel. It's Daniel. What a great man of God. The king had ordered people not to pray to the true God. And he opened his windows and began to pour out his heart to God in prayer. He obeyed God rather than men. He wouldn't compromise the truth, even though he knew it would cost him his life. They had him arrested for violating the king's decree, thrown into the den of hungry lions, which just always amazed me. I've never been around, I've never petted a lion. I've never had a real desire to. But could you imagine lions in a pit that are hungry and they throw in a piece of raw man flesh, Daniel, and they didn't touch him. They didn't eat him. God shut the mouths of the lions. And when the king came to check on Daniel, you know what he said? This is so victorious, so encouraging, so empowering. He said, "My God has sent His angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before Him innocency was found in me, and also before Thee, O King, have I done no hurt." Daniel 6:22. And it proved just how miraculous a deliverance that was. The king threw his accusers in. The lions' appetites came back and they started crunching them like Cheetos, crunching their bones. You could probably hear it. The next time you feel as though you're being devoured by your circumstances and are discouraged, trust in Daniel's God to deliver you from that discouragement. He did it for Daniel. He can do it for you. Now here's Karen Staley's favorite sermon. Peace be still. She asked me, it was her birthday. I can't remember when it was. I don't remember anybody's birthdays except when they're on the calendar. Now, Karen knows everybody's birthdays by heart. I don't know how she does it. My mother-in-law, Shirley Redmond. Shirley Redmond knows every single one of her... Everybody she knows their birthday. She knows their phone number and can just spout it off to you. And a lot of us, she knows our license plate number. We're talking about a lady that just turned 87. Was it yesterday or the day before? 87. Remembers all those things. Well, now, I try to remember your birthdays. Usually, I have to say happy belated birthday when I give you your card. But she requested that I preach that sermon. She had heard me preach it up in Michigan at Home Baptist Church several years ago. And I figured those people have already forgotten what that sermon was. I'll preach it again. Everybody loved it like it was the first time they heard it. But remember, when Jesus was asleep in the boat during the midst of that raging storm, and the disciples that were professional fishermen, they feared greatly. I mean, these were men who had been through storm, but this one was so bad they thought they were going to drown. They were going to die. They woke him up. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus, by an act of sovereign power, made the storm to cease and calm the waves. He saved them out of their distress. The next time you feel that fear, that discouragement is going to drown you in a sea of trouble, call upon the Master who can calm the troubled seas of your life. If He can calm the Sea of Galilee, He can say, "Peace, be still," to the troubled waters in your life. Remember the time when Peter had been falsely accused, cast into prison for fearlessly preaching the gospel of Christ? He was scheduled to be executed by Herod the king. That night he was sleeping peacefully between two armed guards, Roman guards. God sent an angel to deliver him. He was, in fact, the angel had to wake him up. That's how trustful he was. The next time discouragement seeks to bring you into bondage, remember that God can make the chains fall off and give you freedom and joy to serve Him. How about Paul and Silas? Beaten and thrown into the Philippian jail for preaching the gospel, even though their feet were fast in the stocks of that inner prison, with their backs bleeding and aching from the beating they'd received, they were singing. They were praying to God. At midnight, God sent an earthquake. The jailer was saved. It prompted him when everybody was getting out of their cells. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And that they said in unison. They were united in their doctrine of the gospel. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." God saved that Philippian jailer that night, and He doctored their wounds. Probably the wounds that He Himself had inflicted on them. God delivered them by His mighty power. So the next time that you're aching from discouragement and beaten by life's troubles, trust in the same God who delivered Paul and Silas many years ago. God is the health of our countenance. We must learn to trust in His power
and derive strength in His abiding presence and appropriate His promises if we're ever going to conquer discouragement. But let's remember, when we're going through something that's discouraging us, remember these incidents. Remember these accounts. They're not just Bible stories. They're real. I could go on, but I'm not going to. But how about Jonah? I mean, think about that. The wayward, rebellious prophet. The guy's all the way at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale and got seaweed wrapped around his neck. And he just cries out, well, salvation is of the Lord. That's all he did was confess theologically that he believed that God Almighty was the only one able to save. And God made that whale vomit him. Or as my mother used to say, that whale puked. Puked him right out on the shore. He started preaching. And Nineveh repented because Jonah was delivered. Be encouraged. God is alive. He's still working. He does it every day. It may not be as dramatic as those accounts, but it's real. He is working in your life. Take comfort from that. We'll get back to the rest of it.